You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm JC.
And you know I'm Will.
And you're listening to?
You're listening to Dude.
This actually happens to be an international version of Dude.
You know, this is like the Gathering of the Nations? What is that called again?
The United Nations? The Gathering of the Nations?
G20.
Is that for environmental things? Isn't that what it's for?
I don't know, but it sounds cool.
It does sound cool. So yeah, that's not what we're doing today.
It's a dude summit.
It is a dude summit. I'm in Toronto, and I'm up here. And, you know, the people are really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And having a good time, you know? Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird, too, because, like, I only live, I Googled back home. I'm only 7.5 hours away from Philly. So it's not, like, that crazy. But it's a beautiful, it's actually really, it feels like Chicago. Very diverse. You kind of just notice it when you're, like, walking down the streets. You see, a lot of people of all ethnicities, race. It's cool.
Don't they have like a pretty evident Indian population? Like, isn't it fairly like...
Yeah, 8 Indian Asian population. Like, I went to... That's where I'm like... There's like a... I guess what it looks to be the equivalent. I don't know if it's like an equivalent of like a Chinatown or a Japanese town or Korea. Like, it's something like... Because I'm in an area that... I ended up getting some dumplings at a place, and like most of the stuff's in Chinese, but it's really interesting. But you hear people like saying like a mixture of like English and Chinese at any given time. But everybody's like really, I don't know. Everybody looks a lot more put together here than they do in the U.S. I will say that like it's noticeable. Like, yeah, I look around and I'm like, everybody looks like I don't know. It looks like a much better version than what like you see normally in the U.S. Like, but yeah, no, it's cool up here. I'm only up here for a day, and I did my American duty. I said, this election is getting to me, and if you text me one more time, I'm going to Canada. And lo and behold, they did it, and I came here. Well, no, I did get my I got my ballot in. I'm still, you know, repping that sweet, sweet democracy. Even abroad. That's how good of an American I am.
So, hey, just...
Proud to be an American. That, whenever you hear that Lean Greenwood song, Proud to be an American, I just want you to think of me.
I do. I already do. You're the most American man I know.
And just in a powerful pose, a very strong American-y powerful pose. Maybe I have a big flag that I'm waving. An eagle just rests on me. That would hurt though if it like actually came down and rested on you, and you're like ah.
That's how I'd always picture you. It goes Uncle Sam, George Washington, J.C. Crum,
Hulk Hogan.
Those are the Americans I know.
And the Hulk Hogan I imagine is always when he's doing the air guitar.
Yeah,
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That's the only.
This is one of those things I should know as an American, but is Uncle Sam a real guy?
No, he is not a real guy.
I didn't think so, but I don't really know his origin. That's why I ask.
He single-handedly won World War II, Will.
Wow.
Hey, at Normandy, we just dropped him down. You think it was like, you know, you saw Saving Private Ryan where they're storming the beaches and there's tanks. That's not really what happened. It was just a man in a very bright suit that we just dropped out of a plane. And we said, are you ready? You could see the pilot being like, are you ready, Sam? And he just nodded, and they opened up the hatch, and he just flew down.
I'm looking at pictures of Uncle Sam. He kind of looks like if Abraham Lincoln and Colonel Sanders had a baby. Like, he's a good 50-50 mix of the two. But they had like really flamboyant fashion choices.
I mean, it's a powerful look. I would agree with you. I would say that he could definitely be Abe Lincoln's cousin.
Maybe Uncle Sam is real. Maybe we just don't know it. Abe would come home for Christmas and Uncle Sam would be there. And he was a little boisterous. You know, he had one too many whiskeys and he was in charge of cooking the turkey and he always burnt it. Uncle Sam, come on.
Come on, Uncle Sam. Why are you wearing that outfit again?
Come on.
Don't you have another pair of clothes, Uncle Sam? Please, can't you tone it down? It's the fall. We don't need those bright, eccentric colors. I can understand if it's after Labor Day, but come on, Uncle Sam. I saw speaking of Abraham Lincoln, I don't want to give away anything, but I saw a play on Broadway.
Oh, fun.
The show is hilarious. The show was unbelievable.
What was it?
It was called Oh Mary, and it was about Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh, that's cool.
But get this, there's no historical accuracy to any of it.
So it's kind of like when a long time ago when they wrote that Lincoln Vampire Slayer, it's kind of the same concept, like completely fictional.
It was definitely like that, except you find out that Mary Todd Lincoln is both a horrible person and certifiably insane. And Abe Lincoln is very stressed out about the war, and he takes it out in some very unusual ways. I'll just put it that way.
Is this ethical to write? Like, kind of?
No, not at all.
How do they get away with that?
There was no reverence. Well, I mean, again, Will, these people died hundreds of years ago. So I think once about a good 100 years has passed, I think you're okay.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was awesome. It was very funny to see Abraham Lincoln portrayed as, I wouldn't say he was a villain in this, but he wasn't the good guy. Like, it was just weird. It was a very strange, like, it was very complicated and very, but it was also very funny.
Interesting. You know what? That is an interesting concept, because humans are humans. We all have emotions. We all have our own level of arrogance or pride or whatever. We have our weak moments. Like, think about maybe some of the best humans that have ever walked the earth, maybe like a Gandhi or something. I'd love to see him in his worst moment. Like, you know, the waiter brings him like overdone eggs and he gets really annoyed with the waiter.
I said scrambled! Damn it!
Where's my avocado toast?
And then you have like the waitress, like some new waitress crying. They're like, sorry, you screwed up Gandhi's eggs. He gets very upset when you screw up his eggs. Oh my gosh. I witnessed, so for Halloween, we have a ton of people come to our neighborhood for Halloween. Like, people come in from all over the greater Philadelphia area to trick or treat. It's really cool. It's like literally hundreds, if not thousands of kids.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's literally like, you know, it's kind of amazing. So I decided, like everybody else in the borough, I guess, to get pizza, that pizza was a good idea. So we walk into the pizza place. No joke. There's like, I mean, it's not a very big building. There's like 20 people in there that just look miserable. And I see my neighbor, a couple neighbors that I know, and both of which are just like they just look like they're beyond stressed. And the one guy, he just leaves. He leaves without his pizza. He's so mad.
Mad about what?
The wheels had come off at this pizza place, and they were not ready for the rush, the pizza rush of Halloween.
Were they already mad, or were they mad about the pizza place?
No, they were mad because so people had gone in to get pizza, and they were like, hey, it's going to be 10 minutes, and then it would be like 45 minutes, and they wouldn't have their pizza.
You wouldn't be upset, you know?
Well, whatever system they had designed in order to keep track of things had clearly just gone out the window. And I watched five people working and four of them were crying. It was awful. No. And they were all like high school slash college girls, and it was so sad to watch. And it was, but it was, no, but it was also like kind of infuriating because you're like, whatever this prop, but you could tell it was just a situation where like everything was so far gone that they were just like, "What did you order?" And you'd be like, "Thank God I had a really simple order," because I was just like pepperoni and cheese, and like you saw just like the person look around and that like whatever just like came up, they were just like, "Here, just take it. Just get out of here." Like the whatever system they were using was gone, you know, like it had just in the process had gone out the window at some point, and they were just like grasping at straws and just trying to keep like the people in there from killing them. And it just became this like game of whoever was the most stressed was going to get the pizza next.
Oh, that's sad. That makes me sad for those girls.
And that one girl, I saw one girl, she was like, she was like doing like the suck in. She was like sucking it. She was like, she was like, but then she like was breathing. And then, but it was awful because like she couldn't turn away. Like she kind of like tried to turn away, but then she was like turning towards the oven. That was too hot. So she'd have to like turn back. And then we would all see her. And it was just, it was awful. It was just really uncomfortable for everybody.
Did people empathize with them or were people visibly annoyed with them?
Yeah, they were. But it was also just like, it was so bad on so many counts.
It's like whoever, you're more mad at whoever's supposed to be running the show and they're not. Yeah.
I think the problem is your empathy goes out the window after like 25 minutes. You know what I mean? At that point you're just like, come on, this is, and then I was running late for the trick or treating. And so my wife wasn't happy. So then I was stressed because I was stressed about, so I was stressed about it too. I felt like the girl. I was get the pizzas and get back here.
Does that story remind you of anything? Something that has to do with me and working at the cafe that I used to work at in college.
Oh yeah, it did remind me. It does remind me of the grape smoothie story. One of my favorite stories.
Yeah. So right after I graduated high school, I worked at a coffee shop, and I loved it. I loved working at a coffee shop.
We could say the name of the coffee shop, can we?
Cafe Bona. Yeah. It's not
Cafe Bona. Cafe Bona was kind of a big hit. It had its time. It had its run when it was a very successful little cafe.
Very
chain.
Much so. There were like, at one point, I think there were four locations in Tulsa. It's no longer exists, but I used to work at this one, one of the more popular ones, and I loved it. But one night, I worked the night shift with two guys, and one night I was working the register, and a guy had ordered a smoothie, and we made him a smoothie.
And would you describe this man as like a large, intimidating, strong man?
He was definitely a very intimidating fellow. And so he came back to the counter, which I'm working, and he goes, "The smoothie's terrible."
Didn't he go, "Hey man, the smoothie sucks."
Yeah, I think he was blunt for sure. He wasn't mean, but he was blunt. He goes, "The smoothie's terrible." Like, look, you know when somebody stares at you, like, what are you gonna do about it? You know? He put the smoothie in and goes, "The smoothie's terrible." And kind of staring at me, and I panicked. And so I just said, I don't know what I was thinking, but I just go, "Cheesecake on the house." And he, when I say this man was over the moon about this, like, he was like, "Yes, yes, absolutely." And so I get out the cheesecake, and he, like, picked out his slice, and he went from so upset about the smoothie to, like, "Yeah, a score. I get a cheesecake."
You see him driving home, and he's just like, "Cheesecake. Yeah, free cheesecake. Cheesecake for me."
I think at one point I said, "Do you want like a chocolate or vanilla drizzle?" And he's like, "Yeah, chocolate drizzle." Like, I was giving this guy the works. I made this guy's night, and it was definitely not protocol.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What was the weirdest like social interaction you ever had at? Like, is there anything that, like, sticks out in your mind?
Have I told the Lequel story?
I don't think so.
Have you not heard this story before?
I don't think I have.
Oh, my God. Okay, I apologize if I've told the story on the podcast already.
Again, imagine Will at this cute little cafe. He's got a nice little apron. Were you wearing an apron at the time?
Yeah, we didn't wear
aprons. Apron on.
Yeah.
You had the sleeves rolled up. It was like we've made multiple references to Gilmore Girls over the course of this podcast, but it's like Gilmore Girls. It was like that little cute coffee shop or Central Perk and Friends or something like that. It was just kind of a nice family coffee shop, and
that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, it was very much was that. And like most cafes work, you have someone working the register. When you order a drink, the person working the register has to write down your order, what you got, and then underneath it, you write the name, right? I'm working the espresso machine and the drink area, this shift, right? So my boss is working the register, and she hands me this cup for me to make, and it said hot tea, and underneath it, it said the weirdest name I have ever read in my life. But I'm like, I'm just going to make the tea and worry about it later. So I make her hot tea, and what you do when you put it on the counter, like, again, most coffee shops, you scream out the name. I'm like, oh, God, this is such a bizarre name. Like, I feel bad if I'm going to mispronounce it. So it was spelled L-E- Q-U-A-L. I'm like, so I kind of try to mumble it and hope they know. So I just go, look while your order's ready. And I put the tea up there and I go back to making my drinks. And when I put the next drink up, I notice the drink is still up there. The tea is still up there. I'm like, ah. And I just go a little bit louder this time. Wake while your order's ready. Your drink's ready. And I go back to making my drinks, right? And I make the next drink and I put it up and the dang tea is still up there on the counter. I'm like, I'm just going to let it rip. I don't care if I'm mispronouncing it. I go, Linkwell, your order's ready! And my boss hears it and she goes, Will. She goes, that says hot tea with one bag of equal. One equal. Like equal sweetener. She said one equal. And here I am screaming Linkwell. She didn't put a name on there. And it turns out the lady whose order it was sitting there with her daughter. Like they heard all of it happening and they were crying laughing. They were crying. They thought that was the funniest thing ever. I was so embarrassed.
That's awesome. Good for them. Good for them for just messing with you, man. That's awesome.
Done the same thing. I would have just been like, let's see where this goes. Let's see how far he keeps screaming legal.
So, you know, I valeted cars at Sullivan's.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Which could be a whole, there's a whole nother, I mean, so I did that when I first moved to Pennsylvania. I didn't know a whole lot of people. And I had a side hustle and it was funny because I was really bad at I wasn't very good at it, if I'm being really honest. Which sounds like asinine. Like, how can you be bad at it? But like, I got better, but I was also only doing it like one day a week, so it was like harder to get better at it. And it was also like, it was a very small parking lot. Like, it was not an easy parking lot to like go in. And there was like weird like one ways that we had. And it opened up right on a highway too. So I do want to at least paint the picture of like, I'm not a complete idiot. Like, it's not exactly like it wasn't like this big sprawling parking lot in the middle of nowhere. It was actually kind of semi difficult when it got crowded. But I remember it was in this really nice steakhouse. And I remember, so what the setup was, we had like a little stand, but it wasn't outside the right, like some valets have like stands that are outside. We actually had a stand. There was sort of like this in between of the main dining room and, you know, I guess it was like, and the outside. We were kind of that in between, I guess, maybe to help with, you know, either air conditioning or heat or whatever. And there was enough room in there. We had a little podium and that's where we kept the keys. And, you know, we would just kind of hang out. We could, you know, generally see what was going on in the parking lot and all that good stuff. So one time I was there and a gentleman, a really well-dressed gentleman, leaves and he's moving very quickly, very quickly. And he had in his hand what appeared to be a picture frame, like a huge picture frame. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. Like, and then like I kind of watch him because he's like, he's moving so fast. And I kind of like go out because I think I'm just like, huh. And then he just like starts like dead sprinting towards his car. And I'm like, huh. And then like, no joke, like right behind me, like the manager or somebody like sprints out and they go, get him. He stole a picture off the wall. And like, I'm like in my head, like,
is it a big deal? Like what was so significant about this picture?
It wasn't necessarily, I mean, I'll explain what the picture itself was here in a moment, but you know, it wasn't like this priceless artifact. It just was the fact that like you're sitting there and your boss, kind of your proxy boss, is telling you to do something.
Was he telling you to chase after this guy?
Yes. Yes, he was telling me to chase after him.
What are you supposed to do when you get to him?
Well, that was my thing. That I did what every smart person would do, was like kind of pretend you're going to like start moving quickly after him. But like, you know, like I'm not going to do anything. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to fight this guy for. So he, yeah, this guy, I guess he got really drunk and I'm assuming he had some alcohol in him. If not, I mean, God bless him. There was this really, it was, the restaurant was called Sullivan's. It's a franchise. It's a steak franchise and, the steakhouse franchise. And I guess it was named after some boxer, some Sullivan boxer. So there's this big art piece in the men's, it was in the men's restroom, dude, but it was huge. It was like, you know, 3x3 or 3x4, gigantic, you know, old school picture of, and he just ripped it off the wall, dude. Like, it was also, it wasn't like just like nicely hanging and like, it was like one of those things where it was like, it was mounted in such a way that it couldn't easily be removed, right? He straight up ripped it off the wall and then sprinted over. So I had to pretend like I was like, oh, like, I don't know, like I pulled something or,
oh, darn, that man was so fast.
Man, he's so quick. Oh, man.
I didn't have my running shoes on.
Yeah, because what am I going to do? Am I going to, fight him? I just turn.
Yeah, right. What if you did fight him, like, really hard? Like, you gave it everything you had. You eventually get it back, but not without, like, you know, busting
lips and teeth.
And you're like, so what is the significance of this? Oh, no, that's just hanging in our mouth, right?
The franchisee gave it to us and told us to put it on the wall, and that's what we got to do.
It's not even original.
So, Will, you had the brilliant idea, and we're trying to do this for the last 15 minutes, is you had the brilliant idea of, well, we were just talking about laugh tracks and old television shows and how they would incorporate the laugh track and like, you know, which is hysterical because it lasted for so long. It like really like, and there's still shows that have laugh tracks in them, even today. But,
well, here's the thing. I once heard Rob Lowe, the great actor Rob Lowe, talking on a podcast about how
that man does not age. It's incredible.
Incredibly handsome. It's crazy. He's like, I think he's almost 60. It's not already 60. He is, yeah, he is a handsome man. But he was talking about how you can go to YouTube and you can type in most sitcoms and say, like Big Bang Theory, for instance. You can type in Big Bang Theory, no laugh track. And if you watch it, you realize how much funnier a laugh track makes it. So,
and how reliant those shows are on the laugh track at that point. It's a crutch, basically.
It's like a mental game. It really is. So JC and I had the idea to see, we want to see if we can make a better duty experience for you guys and add a laugh track. So we're going to add a laugh track. So JC, why don't you maybe set up a story and we'll do a laugh track.
Yeah, of course. Oh, now the pressure's on me.
Well, now you're in front of a live studio audience, so I mean, let's get it right here.
So we ended up going to this. So we went to the play. We went to the play, and then there was a restaurant that my wife has always been infatuated with, I guess, in like kind of near Times Square area, and like we try to avoid Times Square at all costs because it's awful. It's gross. It's really gross.
Yeah.
But We were already going to be around there, and she had seen this place, and she was like, I want to check it out. It was a French restaurant, and they have singers in there, and they're singing in French, right? Which is cool. Well, lo and behold, we're seeing, and like usually, you know, one man's in a tuxedo, and like there's a woman in a very elegant cocktail dress. It's a very kind of classy experience. It kind of harkens back to like an older age, you know what I mean? And then there's this man, and he's singing too, and he's in like what appears to be like, he looks like he's from like the 1700s. He's in like a blue, like royalty, royalty outfit. I can't even describe. Like he has like the white, you know.
Did he look like a jester, or like that's what I'm picturing?
No. He looked like more like a Napoleon Bonaparte, or without the hat, but like had. Actually, he did. He looked like it was like a Napoleon Bonaparte, but like imagine it was like blue. Or like imagine like a combination of Napoleon Bonaparte and Captain Crunch. Like that's the outfit that he's rocking, right? And it doesn't really fit in. Like outside of the fact that you're like, okay, like I guess that looks like a colonial French outfit. Like there's no explanation for it, and he's French. Like he's really French, so he's singing in France and like or French, and you know. So maybe he is making comments about it, but I can't understand it if he is, because he's pretty much speaking in French the entire time as he's up, you know, singing along and making comments and stuff. Like it's in French. So at one point he goes by us, like he walks by us, and I'm like, sir, I have to ask about the outfit. And no joke, Will.
Was he like offended?
No. All he I was expecting him to give me some like reasoning on like why he was wearing it and what it was. And
what's the aesthetic of this restaurant before you tell him to say what he's at? Like, is it really nice, or is it kind of like Red Lobster?
No. It's nice. It's a nice restaurant. It's a nice, again, imagine upscale French restaurant.
Okay.
You know, there are people that are dressed up fairly, you know, fairly nice. I wouldn't say it wasn't like on that like elite level where they're like judgy. It's not like one of those. Like I've been to some of those. It's not one of those, not like Michelin star or anything like that. But it's a nice restaurant. You know, it's not Chili's.
Okay.
And I don't know if he misunderstood what I was asking, but he proceeds to explain to me it was from this online store, and he starts going into details about the online store. Will, he's describing Amazon. He was like describing like Amazon, like I'd never heard of it. Like he had just discovered Amazon, and he was trying to tell me. He gave me no explanation for like why he was wearing it, but he was like, "Oh, I went online, and I've been looking for some for a long time, and I find this store, and there's everything there. There's anything you want, food and books, and I look, and it is only $50. Look at the quality. It's $50. It's amazing. This store is Amazon. It's Amazon. Yes." And I'm like,
then he started talking about like, and you know what? I live my life by this certain philosophy. It's this thing I figured out. And it's this man. He died on the cross. His name is Christ. Have you heard of him? It's like, everyone's heard of Jesus. Come on.
Come on, dude.
He's explaining very popular things to you.
No, but then he did this, another weird part of it. After explaining what Amazon was to me, like I'd never heard of it, he then was like, feel it. Feel the quality. And I was like,
did he have like the broom?
Yes.
Like, you know, the broom, yes.
He had the shoulder pad. But again, I have no idea why he was wearing it. And he looked horribly out of place. Like it didn't, again, it looked like Captain Crunch was singing at this restaurant.
That's great.
It was awesome. But yeah, so that's what he was. That's what he was doing. That was one of my weekend entertainment experiences right there.
That's awesome. That's great. I noticed something about myself. You know, one of the many joys of growing old is you find yourself fitting into these weird cliches that you used to, you know, look at your dad or your grandpa and go, oh my God, I'm never gonna be like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're younger and you saw older men, a lot of times they have this crazy thing where you look at their eyebrows and they have certain hairs that are like inches long, like an inch long.
And they're just going some strange direction, yeah.
JC, I've become that man. I looked at my eyebrows and I had like five hairs just out of place, super long. And I don't know, I was stunned by the man I saw in the mirror.
Yeah, did you look like one of those like really gross alley cat? Like you turned into like a gross junkyard cat.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. I took some scissors to my eyebrows and I, you know, gave them
did
a
you
good...
turn to Did you turn to Joe and were you just like, how did you let this happen to me? How?
Well, I do often tell Jordan, like, hey, if my nose hairs get too long, if my eyebrows get too long, you know, if I've got hairs astray on my face, you got to let me know this.
It is hard, though, because, you know, I would say, you know, again, with you have two, I only have one. And with children, there's just so much chaos at any given time. It is really difficult to, like, this was one of our first weekends away, me and Carol Ann, without baby.
It's weird.
It was weird, but it was very nice. But it was also very nice, and it was also very like, you know, we actually like, you know, dressed up and took showers and like, you know what I mean? Like you actually like do your hair and you know, it's crazy. You're just like, oh my God, that time, you're just getting by, and you don't realize how much time you had before to get ready, just generally ready for things. And so it was like, it was one of those things where I think both me and Carol Ann were like, oh wow, you cleaned up good, kind of a like weird because like you just can't, there's just never time. It's just, you know, there's it's just chaos.
So you're almost 2 years in at this point, which is crazy to think about.
It is crazy. I know.
I honestly think it might have been a 3 or 4 year mark where Jordan and I were like, we kind of forget what it's like to wake up on a Saturday and just sleep in and not have anything mm-hmm. to do. That's so far beyond our memory now. It was like, it's so faint. But I do remember the first time Jordan and I had our parents watch Archie. We went on a trip back to Milwaukee. And Jordan was so concerned that Archie was going to, like, it's very sweet. She was so concerned that he was going to like really miss us that she made a little scrap picture book with pictures of us and him together, like us with him, like several pictures so he could look through it. And she also gave him one of her shirts so he could like smell.
Oh,
like it's insane, but it's also very sweet. Yeah, I don't know. But now we don't, you know, she's like, okay, yeah, let's get out of here. Let's scream.
I mean, you're not giving your children pieces of your clothes on a regular basis. That's not a normal, okay, honey, here's a sock. Here's a sock, Archie. I'll see you in a little bit.
I will say the shirt was not as big of a hit as my underwear, but. Come on, guys, cut it out.
Cut it out.
Speaking of laugh track, that show had the best laugh track of them all.
They were just dying. It was just there. That couldn't have been. I know sometimes they said it was filmed in front of a live studio audience, but there are certain shows like Full House, for example, Step by Step, some of those really, really Family Matters were like, they were so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I have to think they had a laugh track on top of the laugh track. There's just no way that you could get consistent, like, you know, what you were getting out of the audience like that. I mean, the show was too poorly done. No matter how many demands they asked for as it related to the laugh, there's no way it could have.
Nobody's laughing
received
that hard at Cut It Out for the 50th time in, you know, one episode. It's not that funny.
I mean, listen, that little woodchuck that Uncle Joey had, yeah, he was clever and he was kind of funny, but he was not evoking the kind of laughter that he was getting out of that crowd.
No way. You know what's crazy? Yeah, that's a good impression, by the way.
Don't you mean what?
Dude, that's a good impression. That sounds just like it.
I feel like you'd always just, all the jokes were like,
did someone say what?
Man, we're really getting them laughing.
Man, we really are. This is something we got to keep. All right, everybody. Have a great week. I'm proud of all of you for voting. I know all of you little duties exercised your right to vote. And I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, we're proud of you.
You made little Richard proud.
Yeah, so yeah, we're proud of you for voting. You know, some of you are happy, some of you are sad, but you know what? At the end of the day, you still got Dude. That's all that matters.
A big pile of Dude.
Right into your earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have a great week. It's good talking to you, Mr. Crumb. Enjoy Kanata, otherwise known as Canada. Drink some maple syrup for me.
I shall.
And, yeah, have a great week.
See you guys. Bye, duties.